Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr. And back with me today for part two of our conversation is Jeff Mack, who is the creator of the Steampunk World's Fair. And that's a three-day event that's going to be held May 13th through 15th in Piscataway, New Jersey. We'll get more into that a little bit later as the show goes on. So, Jeff, thanks for being with me again today.
I feel very honored. I feel like a lot of people don't have a chance to be on twice in a row.
No, they don't. Well, with steampunk, I think it's fair to say that there is just so much to talk about, and obviously we can even just really skim the surface. But my recollection is that one of the last, well, first of all, forget my recollection. Let's just hear it from you all about the where and the when, and we'll repeat that later on as well.
Well, absolutely. The Steampunk World's Fair itself, the world's largest steampunk event, is May 13th through 15th, and that'll be in Piscataway, New Jersey. It's at the Radisson Hotel of Piscataway and the Embassy Suites Hotel of Piscataway. Altogether, it's almost a quarter of a million square feet of steampunk because we use both hotels, all their space, all their first floor rooms, and pretty much all the space in between.
So is it an indoor-outdoor kind of a deal?
It's both, right. It's a festival. It's not a convention or an ordinary show. Yes, we have our fabulous Midway, which has its own full-blown circus tent. It's unfortunately not in pretty circus colors. It is just a white tent, but it is a massive, massive tent, and it spans the parking lot that right where the Embassy Suites and the Radisson basically collide with each other because they are pretty much just across from a parking lot.
Mm-hmm. So this is really, I mean, not only, it's the largest steampunk event, but, I mean, physically, this is really using up a lot of space, so no wonder it's 3 days. Wow. Can't wait. It's gonna be pretty wild.
It's really wild. It's beautifully rambunctious. It's a whole lot of fun.
Oh, I like that. Beautifully rambunctious. That's a good phrase. Beautifully rambunctious. I like that.
It's sometimes hard to describe the feel of this event because it's so huge and yet so friendly. I've been to things like New York Comic Con, which is a much bigger event. It's a wonderful show, but it's huge and very impersonal. One thing about our show is that even though we are the largest steampunk event in the entire world, we're a very friendly show. And way back before we were ever thinking that we might be anything on an international scale, we always emphasized the thought of being friendly to everyone, being welcoming and open.
So as we mentioned this before, that the show is very much inclusive for people of all ages, but some of the events might be for older adults, not children. But basically, it is open for anyone to enjoy the festivities, correct?
Exactly. It's open for everyone. I think that most entertainment that's going to span a range of interests and a range of genres is going to be entertainment which will potentially have at least some areas which are best for people who are more mature, simply because it's really important to have a rich, vibrant set of activities and performances and shows for kids and young people if you're an event that is geared with families partly in mind. But there are some areas, like our Nightshade Society in particular, where you probably don't want to bring younger children unless your family is the Addams Family, in which case, go right ahead.
Yes. I'm glad you explained it that way. That made perfect sense. I like that.
I'm actually a huge fan of Charles Addams. I have a lot of his work, including his cookbook.
His cookbook?
Yes, Charles Addams loves food, and he made a cookbook, and it's great cartoons and great recipes, and it's just one of the many, many pieces of eclectica that you get when you do something like study and help be a part of the creation of something as unusual as steampunk.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that we started to talk about last time, we didn't really get to finish this. I had mentioned that I had been to Wicked Fair and that there were the most really exquisite costumes. I mean, really everything from a woman dressed as a goldfish, okay, to people dressed, you know, sort of very much Renaissance looking, really beautiful outfits, all sorts of things. And one of the things that I noticed that popped up over and over again was goggles. And I wanted to ask you about that. What is the significance of all the goggles? But I know that I'll see more of that at steampunk.
You know, there are a lot of theories about the goggles. I happen to have a personal theory, which is that K.W. Jeter's seminal steampunk work, Infernal Devices, has been a greater influence on steampunk than most people believe. It's a wonderful work, but the majority of steampunks have not read it. But you'll find many major steampunk tropes within that one brilliant little novel.
Mm-hmm.
And goggles were certainly a part of it. But I think there's a more general idea, which is that if you have goggles on your forehead, if you have goggles around your neck, you probably look like you're up to something. And I think with something as creative and something as eternally evolving as steampunk, if you're going to have a cultural signifier, a cultural signifier that says, I'm doing some sort of mad science, is pretty much going to fit in with anyone's concept of what steampunk might be.
So goggles, okay. Because there is something mad scientist-like about goggles. I always think of a science lab at school, even. And I just saw them, you know, men and women, some were wearing them, some had them dangling around their necks, some people even had them almost like an armband. They were just,
yes,
in just every imaginable way you could use goggles. All right. Because I wonder if the Victorians were big on goggles.
Well, the Victorians themselves may not have been exactly as big on goggles, and in fact, you might have found goggles more frequently among people who worked either as inventors or the relatively few people who worked in factory-related industries or industries that had to do with forging and creation. But I think that one of the beauties of steampunk is that you can conceptualize your character, your idea of steampunk, as coming from pretty much any version of that reality that you like. As an example,
mm-hmm.
I've been a part of both the gothic and the punk rock movements, if you want to say there's only one gothic or one punk rock movement, but I've been a part of each of those, and in each of those areas, you could point to a relatively small number of highly seminal bands, people and influences and say, okay, we got a lot of our culture from those spaces. And
yeah.
In steampunk, you do not have that. In steampunk, no single person can say, hey, I really made steampunk what it is. And so I think one of the powers of what steampunk can do is the strength of being able to create your own personal universe and say, I think this is a really interesting idea. I think this would look really cool. I think this would have a cool feel to it. And no one can say, well, that's not really steampunk, because there's no one who gets to be an authority on that. Everyone gets
yeah.
to be an authority on what steampunk might be.
So you really get to personalize this for yourself. And is it fair to say that most people do dress up?
I think most people do dress up. I think they dress up in varying degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I've noted a really important distinction that I would like to make is I've known situations and scenes where people feel like they have to dress up in order to fit in. And with steampunk, it's much less about I want to fit in and much more about I want to experiment with my own way of doing things. And that's really important because a lot of the time, honestly, when I hear, well, people will be dressed in a certain way, I get intimidated. I will think,
yeah.
What if I do it wrong? What if I don't quite get accepted? What if I knot my tie in a Windsor knot and it's supposed to be in some other knot? One of the beautiful things about steampunk is that people get enthusiastic about it, and no one can tell you, no, that's not right. So I think people start dressing up not because they feel like they have to in order to fit in, but because they feel like it's going to make their own experience better. And that's such a huge difference.
It is a big difference. And I would also say that if you don't want to dress up, you're equally welcome. So it doesn't really matter. It's whatever you want it to be. Yeah. But expect
Absolutely.
To see some pretty wild outfits, right? Yeah.
Oh, goodness. You'll see everything from people who come in jeans and a T-shirt with nothing that you consider steampunk at all. And, in fact, for a long time, I did that, but that's another story. To people who are dressed as steampunk Iron Man, or people who've created what looks like an entire fictional steampunk universe that they're wearing on their bodies,
mm-hmm.
and everything in between.
So I think it's safe for people listening. When you go to steampunk, it's whatever you want it to be. There's no right or wrong. Just be prepared for some interesting times, because steampunk is certainly not an ordinary event. Now, speaking of the various events within steampunk, now on your website, you really are featuring, you've got panel discussions, you've got entertainment, there's food and all sorts of things going on. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about was, you have a VIP event I saw, and it was called the Goblin Market, or a
yes,
cabaret.
Yes, the Goblin Market, which is the Goblin Market, the Cabaret d'Enfer.
Tell me about that,
Which is one of the gems of our event. And don't worry, you don't actually have to be able to pronounce French. I hope there aren't any French speakers in the audience to hear my terrible pronunciation. You know, when we were looking to create something really special for this event, when we said, what could we do if we want to... If one of the things about our events is that we try to offer a massive amount of entertainment to every single ordinary ticket buyer. If you buy a basic ticket, you get admission to everything, and that's not necessarily the way it is in much of the steampunk world, or indeed much of the event world. In a lot of the event world, especially in the world of relatively unusual events, if you want to get most of the event experience, you tend to need to get a special ticket. And for our events, we really like it if people have access with a regular ticket. So when we wanted to create a special ticket, we wanted to create something that would be really out of the ordinary. So to put it really quickly, the Goblin Market is an interactive experience wherein you enter sort of a space that has a 19th century, rather dark Victorian feel to it, and you get entertainment and shows that you won't see anywhere else at the event, and indeed perhaps not anywhere else at all. For example...
Yeah.
This year we feature the premiere of Terence Zadunik's American Murder Song, which has been in the works for, I think, almost 3 years at this point. And this is the very first time it's going to be performed on stage. It's a 19th century collection of creative murder ballads made by the person who built the cult classic movie Repo, the Genetic Opera, as well as a lot of other fantastic, unusual work.
Hmm. So that's going to be a most unusual evening, a most unusual
Absolutely.
Event.
Absolutely. It is not the sort of thing you'll find pretty much anywhere else.
Now, tell me about some of the panel discussions, because I saw even something about regarding the Beatles.
Sure. I mean, again, to go back to steampunk being something that welcomes everyone, if you're starting to look at steampunk as, here's a way that I can view this creative palette and take something that I love and place it into that lens, steampunk itself gives you the possibility of, well, steampunk itself gives you the possibility of taking pretty much any passion you have and exploring it. And one of our attendees absolutely loves the Beatles, and if you look at the work of the Beatles, you'll see a lot that could harken back to the 19th century, that could harken back to a nostalgic time. And they decided to combine this massive phenomenon, the Beatles, who changed the face of music as we know it, with our unique little world, steampunk, and its curious little ways, and it's really a cool panel. I'm looking forward to it.
So, yeah, I think that sounds fascinating. I mean, I'm a huge Beatle fan, so I think that's going to be very cool to see that. So what other panels that would be unusual for people?
You know, I feel like the real glory of a panel isn't always how unusual the panel itself is, but who's on that panel. For example,
yes,
we
that's
have
really
panel
the better question. Yes.
Well, gosh, I don't know if it's a better question, but seriously, one of the panels I'm really looking forward to is our panel on creativity, where we've taken a number of our headlining guests, and our headlining guests come from a variety of different genres, and put them
mm-hmm.
all together in one place. So you'll have, for example, a member of Steam Powered Giraffe, perhaps the biggest band in steampunk, a group whose immaculately choreographed, humorous, brilliant steampunk work is pretty much iconic at this point. And then you might have, say, a member of the Men That Will Not Be Blamed for Nothing, who are basically the most punk, the most anarchic steampunks in the world, on the same panel talking about the thing that unites them, which is every day at some point they need to sit down and create. How do these incredibly different, disparate people joined together in this unusual genre come together in finding their creative muse, something we all need to do if we're going to perform? I'm really looking forward to that panel.
And you, of course, you have also, I noticed, a chocolate tasting. And so that, I'm wondering what will be the steampunk angle on chocolate tasting?
Oh, goodness. Well, the chocolate tasting is wonderful. There are two of them. They're nearly sold out. In terms of chocolate tasting, there are two angles. One of them is that a lot of people in steampunk are multi-talented, and Nikki Woolfolk, who is the creator of Le Beau Chocolat, is also an author. So the chocolate that she sells is based on the chocolate created by the chef in a series of novels she's written. And so you get these two genres that go really well together.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate itself, candy as we know it, candy entered a really interesting space in the 19th century when it began to be relatively mass-produced, and you began to have some relatively large access to chocolate beans in Europe, but it was still very much a situation where individual chocolatiers tended to make all of the chocolate. You didn't have giant candy conglomerates with roboticized factories putting out candy.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I will gladly eat all the candy bars from giant roboticized factories that you send me. There's something really incredible about artisanal hand-created chocolates. And
oh, yeah.
Nikki creates artisanal, personally made, individually designed, hand-crafted chocolate. And that's really, I think, iconic of a larger ideal of steampunk, which is that in 2016, we live in an increasingly mass-produced world. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but the individuality of personal craftsmanship is a little bit lost, and steampunk seeks to regain some of that.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm very curious about the chocolate tasting. So one of the questions I would have for you, because, I mean, Jeff, this is an enormous event, and so what are some of the biggest challenges you face putting something like this together?
One of the greatest challenges we always face is figuring out how to always do something new, always do something that people will find different from anything else, while holding on to the past that people have loved. I keep talking about our being the world's largest steampunk event, and I'm really proud of that. But, you know, in the convention business, in the festival business, in the business of putting on unusual events for unusual people,
mm-hmm.
you see a lot of people who will do the same thing every single year. And that is, I don't want to speak ill of that practice. It's certainly one way to go about it, and there are a lot of advantages. Like, you can have a very consistent product if you do that. but I find that events that tend to do that tend to become much less exciting. We try to do something different every year, and steampunk itself evolves differently every single year. And so trying to reflect a culture that's fundamentally gained new ideas and new creativity in the last year since we did this event is always an amazing challenge.
Yeah, I would imagine that, because you do have to hold on to some of the past, because that's what brought people to steampunk in the first place. But I appreciate that you want to change it up as well.
Exactly.
Now,
that.
This is the largest steampunk event. And so I'm wondering, because this is something that I didn't realize, obviously there are many other steampunk events?
Well, I don't know what counts as many. I don't know if there's exactly a compendium of how many steampunk events there are, because you'd have to judge it based kind of on, you'd have to figure out exactly how you want to consider something to be a steampunk event.
Mm-hmm.
One of the beautiful things about steampunk is that it's been embraced by a lot of what you might call the semi-mainstream. It's been embraced by a lot of museums, and that's amazing.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. And museums, of course, occupy this unique place in our society. They're mainstream in that everyone knows what a museum is, everyone recognizes the importance of supporting museums, but they're also very niche in that relatively few people actually do support museums, relatively few people do actually patronize museums. They have this interesting spot sort of straddling that line, and steampunk has really appealed to a lot of the people who are, say, museum curators or people who work in historic areas. And so you see a lot of those springing up, especially now, especially after we created the idea of a steampunk city. I mean, there's a steampunk city this very weekend in Boonton, New Jersey, and they're springing up all over the place. They're in Massachusetts, they're in Pennsylvania. But on the other hand, there are still relatively few events that actually do what we do, which is essentially an independent situation and start from scratch with nothing, just two convention centers, and build a whole new event right up from the ground up. There are probably fewer than a dozen full-fledged weekend-long steampunk events in the United States which are unaffiliated with larger organizations or entities.
Now, because this is a three-day event, you're having it at two large hotels, really, the Embassy Suites and the Radisson. So I'm thinking you must get people from far and away.
We get people internationally, and that's really exciting.
You do?
We get people
from all over
the U.S. It is. And it's still something that amazes me, honestly. You know, when people from, say, Sweden or France or Japan write to me and they say, hey, I've got a couple of questions about how to exchange my currency. I've got a couple of passport questions. I've got a couple of questions about the plane trip. And I write back and I say, what? How would I know about that stuff? What are you talking about? I don't actually say that, but I think it in my head. You know, I'm a Jersey boy, and while I'm really happy to do something that is big and something that appeals to people from all over the world, I'm sort of humbled at the thought that people from other countries are looking at what we do right here in Jersey and saying, I want to go there.
Yeah. Now, have your events always been in New Jersey, Jeff?
Almost all of my events are in New Jersey. I do love New Jersey. Also, we've had a wonderful working partnership with the Radisson Hotel in particular. I've been working with them for 19 years, I believe. 19? It's now 19. Since before they were even at this hotel, back when this management was in Edison. Most of our events are here. I love this state. I love New Jersey. I love diners. I went to Rutgers. I'm a proud Jersey boy. And in a more practical sense, New Jersey is an incredibly dense state in terms of population and an incredibly diverse place. I mean, you have everything from absolutely technological, industrial, to manufacturing factory, to farms,
yes.
and you're right between New York City and Philadelphia. I feel like New Jersey is honestly the most diverse state in the entire United States, but I guess I'm biased.
It's certainly geographically well positioned to get people from all over the place. So, of course, that's a wonderful thing for you. Yeah. Now, I don't want to forget, because we're starting to get low on time, and I want to mention to people, in addition to the Steampunk World's Fair, Jeff does other events. And, Jeff, you have another event, Glimmer Dark, that we wanted to mention. Do you want to tell us about that?
Glimmer Dark, a fairy festival, a unique new kind of fairy festival. I've loved fairies ever since I was a kid, but not just in a sort of childish way. In a childish way. But I've always loved the idea of there being other worlds which are close to this one and which are full of magic and their own unique rules and their own
mm-hmm.
unique ideas, which sort of touch this world but are not quite a part of it. And we decided that we wanted to try to build an event like that. And I guess one of our hallmarks at Jeff Mack Events is that we create unique, unusual events for unique, unusual people. So even if we're doing something that's a little bit out of the ordinary to begin with, like a fairy event, we wanted to do it in our own way. So we decided that rather than have an event which tries to say, hey, come into our event and we'll transport you into fairyland, which is what most fairy festivals do, our event is very much, to go back to an earlier subject, a New Jersey event. We said, what would happen if fairies decided that rather than invite mortals to fairyland, they would like to have a huge party in the middle of winter in a big luxury hotel in New Jersey? And so that's what we did. And kind of we think of the event, in fact, the way we sort of devised the event is thinking, what would happen if fairies hired us to make an event for them and throw a party for their fairy and their mortal friends? And that's how Glimmer Dark came about.
And that's Glimmer Dark. Okay. Very interesting. So I'm going to remind everyone that I will be putting up my blog within the hour after this show is over, and I will have links to Jeff's website so that you can get tickets. It's Jeff's already told me that if you buy your tickets online, you get a break in the price rather than getting them at the door. So that's always a good thing. So, Jeff, once again, tell everyone where and when of the Steampunk World's Fair.
With pleasure. That is May 13th through 15th, lovely Seattle, New Jersey. That is Steampunk World's Fair, FAIR.com. And all are welcome, all are invited.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. This will be my first steampunk, probably not my last. I think it's going to be really a fantastically exciting event. I'm looking forward to seeing all sorts of different people and just costumes and things that I can't even dream about. So I think it's going to be wonderful. And, Jeff, I am so appreciative of you joining me today. And, again, this is Jeff Mack, the creator of the Steampunk World's Fair. So, again, I'll put up my blog with links to everything so that you know exactly how to reach out to Jeff and you can get your tickets. And hopefully I'll see you, Jeff, and lots of other people at the Steampunk World's Fair at the in Piscataway, New Jersey. So thanks for being with me today, Jeff.
Thanks once again. It's been an honor.
My pleasure. So can 30 minutes change your life? Well, it definitely can. So please keep listening to Jersey Coastal Live. Till next time, I'm Andrea Tarr, once more thanking my guest, Jeff Mack, the creator of the Steampunk World's Fair. Bye, everyone, and bye, Jeff. See you at Steampunk.
Thanks again, Andrea.